Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm Deb Balico, and I am here with Rebecca Pratt. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
So today we wanted to discuss with you about community development and how Orphan Relief and Rescue has approached community development, because Rebecca receives lots of questions very often. Anything down from the personal of how do you hear God speaking to you about wanting to start a nonprofit, to what are the practical steps that you take to partner, you know, with local governments and local leaders within the community that you want to serve. So this could be applicable to both any kind of nonprofit working even in America or in West Africa, where we are. So Rebecca, what are some common questions that come your way that people often want to know from you?
Yeah, you know, when you're following the Lord, you know, God prompts your hearts to do different things. That's what we've talked a lot about on this podcast, is the promptings and listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and those nudges that God is prompting you with. So once he starts prompting you and nudging you, you know, sometimes it's hard to figure out, is this just me or is this really God that is speaking to me about this? And the questions that I get from people are always like, how do you know it's God? How do you know you're not going to miss what God wants you to do? And all of that. I share with people, you're not going to miss what God wants you to do if you're in the Word of God, number one, on a regular basis. And you're seeking him. You're seeking for God's highest in your life. And you're spending that quiet place with him each day where you can set aside time to, you know, even if it's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever you're comfortable with, sitting in that quiet place where you can be in a posture to listen and receive. You know, for me, I always do give God permission to disrupt my normal routine. It's when I'm sleeping at night, God will wake me up in the middle of the night with some idea or thought. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, if that's you, you continue to impress that thought with me. Sometimes it's a couple different sleeplessness nights that I struggle, because obviously if it's a little bigger of an idea, like the Community Freedom Center idea, that came to me when I was basically on vacation for a week. And it was the first week of a vacation, true, like check out from reality for a week. And I hadn't done that in a long time. And at the end of that week of just rest, God just started speaking to me. And as I was waking up, it was about 5 a.m, God just put this whole Community Freedom Center idea on my mind. And I was like, I mean, literally the whole strategy of it, you know, do a community center where people can, you know, you can have all your programs in those community centers, then have an office attached that's like a prayer room where people can come for prayer and get help throughout the week, and that it'll be managed by people on your staff, you know, 5 days a week where people can come get help. And then those community centers, if you don't have a church in that area, could be used as a church building on Sunday. And this whole like strategy came to mind from like 5 to 7 a.m. when I was just starting to wake up. And I literally was like, oh my goodness, this is huge. This is huge. And I felt strong. I was like, this could be in every village where we work. Like, this would be an amazing thing. But God, this is too big. Like, this is big. I do not want to walk down that road unless it's you. So if this is you, you bring it into existence with not only the resources, but really a strategy of how to even do this and who's going to, you know, build it. How are we going to build it? And my country director and my team on the ground would have to be, you know, the facilitators of this. And so I just threw it back at the Lord at that point. I said, God, this is too big. I'm giving it back to you. I don't really know what to do with this. And so you show me. And throughout, I would say the next couple months, God just started to clarify the details of this. And then I talked to our country director in the field in one of the West African countries where we work. And he was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. We got to do it. We got to do it. So then we just started fundraising, just saying, well, finances come in for this. And finances, you know, that one particularly took a few years to get all the resources in for that one. But when we did it and it was done, it was like, oh my goodness, we could duplicate this in every single village. So now we have 4 completed community freedom centers with an office. It's incredible what God is doing with all of that. And I'm looking back and I'm saying, this was a divine inspiration from the Lord that God wanted to bring into existence. And I didn't go ahead of God in it. I threw it back at God and said, God, if this is you, then you bring about all of the resources, the strategy, the people, the how to do these things. Now, at the same time, there's kind of a chain of command in these village areas, in these countries where we work. And I always tell our country director and whoever's working with us, always go to the chief and get permission by the chief with what we want to do. But in the early years, you know, I've read lots of different books, some resources that have guided me in really community development success in these villages. There's some books, and we'll put them in the memo of this podcast. But in the early years, it was called Discipling the Nations, The Power of Truth to Transform Cultures. And it's talking about bringing Jesus into the cultures that are very abusive and keeps their people in poverty and in these really difficult scenarios because of their religious practices. And it talks about the transforming power of Jesus. But it's called Discipling the Nations, and it talked about having the two hands of the gospel, really intertwining the practical and the spiritual together. So that was one of the first books I've read that was pivotal with how I do things today. And then another book that was really helpful was When Helping Hurts. And that one just talks about, obviously, us from the West, we come with money, we want to do all these things, and how we can actually disrupt their whole system of success on that side if we don't do it correctly. Then it's African Friends and Money Matters. African Friends and Money Matters is talking about basically when you give money to somebody, like let's say a manager to do some program. African Friends and Money Matters talks about how an African thinks with money. When they're handed money, they literally feel like they can use it however they feel is appropriate, not necessarily how you wanted it to be. And it's an African cultural thing. So I've had to kind of retrain our African staff on when I give you this, we need to account for it with receipts and all these different things. But it was very helpful to see the African mind in how they've been raised with resources. And then the other thing that I really learned with the African Friends and Money Matters was the dignity part of people and people who live on the streets or are homeless in the African nation. I realized that same thing that they were talking about in the African nation is the same thing on this side with the homeless, on the U.S. side even, where this man said, if somebody is begging on the street, they're saying, help me, help me, help me, give me money, give me this, you know, give me your shirt off your back. I like your shirt. Give it to me. He said, they're not necessarily going to really believe that you're going to take your shirt off and give it to them. They honestly just want to be valued by you giving them attention. They want you to look them in the eye and ask them their name. They're wanting your attention.
Relationships, huge relationships is huge.
Yes, yes. So he was giving the example in the book that when somebody's in passing asking you, hey, I like your shirt, I want your shirt, you know, and they're a homeless person or roaming the street. He said, literally stop, look them in the eye and say, what is your name? And start having a dialogue with them, just simple dialogue, just valuing who they are. They're probably not going to ask you for your shirt again. They honestly just wanted a conversation. They wanted you to value who they were. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be heard. And that's what you're doing. You're valuing them. Whether you give them something or not makes no difference. Sure, they would like you to give them something, of course. But they're going to be just fine, you just having a conversation with them and valuing them in that moment. So that was critical in those early years of my work in Africa in particular, because we worked in an area that had just had 14 years civil war. We had come in a year and a half later homeless was everywhere. Street people were everywhere and they were begging. And I literally was overwhelmed. I did not know how to even fathom how to react to all of that. So reading this book, I was really challenged by the Lord to get out of my comfort zone and face these different ones who were begging me for things and just starting to value them, ask them their name. And, you know, so that's in my book. It's called white woman, because that's what they would chant at me, you know, as I'm walking by. White woman, help me, help me, help me. And I just didn't even know what to do. I went into recluse for about 3 months after not knowing what to do. And then God challenged me through this book, African Friends and Money Matters. And so then I started to just hang out with them on the street, do opposite of what I felt comfortable with. And God opened up this whole other thing that you can read about in my book, Inspired to Action. A lot of what I'm doing today is because of those relationships that I built on the street in those early years. And then in my personal book, Inspired to Action, not only will you read about that, but you'll also read, there's a chapter 13, it's called Serving with Your Eyes Wide Open. And that chapter, I talk about, you know, these different corrupt orphanage directors and different things and how to even navigate all of that. And so it's very helpful to see on the other side how things are. But with these different books, I was taught that you go to the chief first in these areas. So let's say God prompts your heart to help in this certain village area, or even in America, wherever it is, he's prompting you to do something to help others. So you do your research, of course, in that area of what the felt needs are. But then when you have a plan, you still go to the chief. For me, it's going to the chief of the villages where we feel like we're to go into another village. We go straight to the chief and we say, we want to hear what your greatest needs are here. And we want to hear a little bit about your village and allow the chief to share with us about the village, his needs. And then we say, you know, we have this program in this other, you know, village. Do you want us to bring this to you? Would this be helpful for you? And then let him share with us what would be helpful, what wouldn't. Then in that same village, we also are looking for the heroes in that area. We say the heroes that are helping others with nothing. They're just literally feeding hungry children outside their doorway, even when they hardly have any food themselves. They have a heart to see children not suffer. And you zero in on these heroes within their community that are doing something with nothing. And you lock arms with them and you say, how can we help you help more children or help, you know, other community people? And that has been priceless because they become helpers in each of these villages. So we have our staff come in with the professional services, but we have these helpers that become just our right-hand people.
They're like advocates for what we're doing. Yes. Yeah, they're really in the community. They gather the community, you know, they're real advocates for what we're doing.
Yes. So that is becomes the success of the village work, is linking arms with those who are doing something with nothing and utilizing them to continue to help more because they have such a heart already. So when you link arms with those who have a heart already and you're just facilitating them to help you help more, that's success. And the other thing that has been priceless in that process is to have a meeting with the mayor of the area, have a meeting with leaders, officials, elders, whoever's running, in a sense, the village or the community in that area, meeting with them and hearing their heart for their own people. Some of them have no heart and they really are just doing it as a business. They're getting paid and so they enjoy that. You find out real quick what their heart is. But then you share, you know, this is what we would like to do. Is this something that you would like us to do within your community? You tell us. And we kind of do it in partnership with them so that they feel honored through that process and they know everything that we're doing in their community. And then they become the ones that when we need a document signed, we go straight to them. And let's say our accreditation paperwork, we have to get reaccredited, you know, every year in these certain areas. And if they can't get paperwork, we have that relationship that we go back to and we say, hey, we can't get this piece of paperwork signed. Will you help us? And they're like, give me the paperwork. I'll do it. You know, I'll sign it right now. So it's been very priceless to have these government relationships that have been our greatest gift in these areas. Now, many of them are corrupt. I say, you know what? Just assume many of them are corrupt, but you still have to work with them and you still have to honor them because you have to bring success in what you're doing and it has to be linking arms with those in charge. So build relationships with these different ones, become their friend, even if you don't agree, which you won't agree with a lot of how they do things, but become their friend and build that relationship. And for me, I always honor them. And okay, so an example, if there's a mayor that I know is very corrupt, I still go in and I say, thank you for helping your people. Thank you for wanting the best for your people. We are working together because we both want to help your community. We have a heart. We're like-minded in heart. And so even though I don't see that in them, I'm speaking it into them. And then they smile big and they say, yes, yes. And then what I have realized is they want to prove to you that they do have the best interest in mind for their people because you've just spoke that into them. And then they will do whatever you need help with. They will link arms with you to make it happen. They'll give you their right-hand man to go into the village and make sure that everybody knows this is going to happen. And I am in shock, honestly, that we get the support that we do. But it's because we as an organization have chosen to honor the officials in front of us. Whether we agree with how they do things or not, we honor them. And as we honor them, we see that we have the highest respect from them from that point on. And I can't tell you some of the stories on this because I don't want them to hear this podcast and feel like, oh, that was me, you know. But it is incredible. That has been one of our biggest success things that we do is we build relationships with these different officials and the police and the social welfare office, and we become their friends. And then we speak life into them and speak into them existence of what we want to happen in the communities. So if we don't see the social welfare office helping their children, we go in and say, thank you for helping your children. And we want to see more children helped. How can we help you help more children? And then they light up because they want to prove to you that, yes, this is what they do. Just beautiful things come out of that. So that's been kind of a beautiful learning lesson, really, that we have learned that we want to continue in. So if you're a person that's beginning to start a nonprofit or you're already engaged in doing nonprofit work or other work that even is a business in these different areas in developing countries, I say, if you haven't already established relationships with government, do it. Start establishing those relationships. It's never too late. And another thing that government officials are always telling us as well is, you know, people from the West, they come, they do their own thing in the village, and then one day they leave and we don't even know what they did. And or if they built a well, they leave, that well breaks down and nobody knows how to fix it because it was done in Western ways. And then it just sits there for 10 more years until somebody comes by again from the West that knows how to fix it. And then they'll get it up and running again. So if you link arms with the locals and say, you know, this is how we want to do things, but when I leave, is this going to continue? Then they will tell you, no, nobody will know how to fix that. So this is how you should do it. And really gain the advice of the different ones. So government officials are always telling me, we love Orphan Relief and Rescue because you come to us and you do things with us. In the future, when you leave, we'll know exactly what you did and how you did it. And then we can continue those things when you leave. And that's really what we want to do. We want to work ourselves out of a job. That's the beauty of this kind of work. If we're doing it correctly, we're going to work ourselves out of a job and train a lot of these children coming through our programs are the ones that we like to hire when they have their professional degrees so that they can, you know, continue to run things as we take a step back a little bit more. And then from the U.S. side, what does this look like if people are trying to help in the U.S. side? I say, research what's already being done even go to, if it's with children, go to the local social welfare office. In my hometown in Texas, I went to the local social welfare office and I told them what I do in Africa. And I said, you know, what are your greatest needs here in this community with children? And so then they told me their list of what the greatest needs are. And then I said, you know what? I want to pray for you. You know, I have a heart for these children. I want to pray for you that you will have those resources or those people come through that can help you in that area. And they just looked at me like, who are you? Thank you. Thank you. Pray for us because we're kind of overwhelmed. And so, you know, I was able to pray for the staff there in my local town. And sometimes it is just praying and valuing those who are doing beautiful work. And that is part of our ministry as well. I haven't done anything physically to transform my direct environment, but I'm praying for those kids and I'm praying for the resources that these different ones in the social welfare office said they needed. But God is wanting us to affect change in our sphere of wherever we can affect change. And that's the beautiful thing. And I always tell people, you know, don't dismiss those promptings, but also don't even think that you're going to miss what God is wanting you to do if you're seeking him. You're not going to miss it. His timing is perfect. If you're seeking the Lord and it's just not time yet to resurrect an idea of what God wants you to do, then maybe he wants to teach you some things before you're going to jump in. And so just prayerfully say, God, I'm going to hold that loosely out here. And then when it's your timing, you provide the strategy, the resources, and the people to accomplish that. Then read up. Start reading books in these community development little areas. If it's developing country, get some books teaching you about developing countries. If it's in America, you know, research some things in America. But do your research and prepare yourself as if you're in a little bit of a university class or something, and you're just teaching yourself so that when it is time, you're ready. You're ready to jump into what God has. And a lot of what God has for us is he's putting us into places because we've prepared and we're ready for that next step. So, yeah, so that's kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah, so to recap, kind of what you're saying is, number one, seek the Lord. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart and his timing and birthing you kind of his heart for your community and the nations. Number two, do your research. So even we spent 6 months learning from the local community, what is it that you need? Listen to the community that you want to serve. Offer them dignity, honor, incredibly important. Next, partner with the heroes in that community. Who is doing a lot with a little? You know, who's faithful with the little so that you can give them more? And then make sure that you are partnering with the local government, social work department, because that's the sustainability component, is you need them to be able to sustain this vision that the Lord is giving you. And it's all in partnership with not only the local leaders, but the government officials, so that you can move forward in what the Lord has put on your heart to do. So if you have any further questions, then please reach out to info@orphanreliefandrescue.org, and we would be happy to answer your questions. Is there anything else, Rebecca, before I close this out?
Yeah, I think just being in that prayerful mode is the most beautiful place to be, and not running ahead of God, but allowing him to be the head. Because we get passionate and we're like, we got to do this. Let's make it happen. So take a step back when you feel this calling or this prompting. Take a step back and say, God, you go before me. When you are ready for this, nudge me in a way where I'm prompted that it's time. It's time. And then you allow God to be the leader. You're behind and you're just following his steps. If you go ahead of God, you're in big trouble. Boy, I wouldn't want to touch anything that we're doing. If I was in the lead, we would have been in trouble really fast. So yeah, I'm with fear and trembling. I want God to be the head, and that's where true success comes.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.